This call is now being recorded.
Thank you very much. So, hello everyone. Gisela, can you please do the role on of?
Yes, with pleasure. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone on today's call. We have Rafik Damak, Alex Gakuru, Tijani Benjema, Avri Doria, Sébastien Bacholet, Michele Melon, Elaine Pries, Richard Tyndall, Evan Leibovich, Tony Harris, Andrew Mack, Fabien Betremieux. From staff, we have Olaf Nordling, Glenn de Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies from Olga Cavalli, Carlos Aguirre, and if I can please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Rafik.
Thank you, Gisela. So, we can now start with the first item about the agenda review. Any comment about this? And so if we everybody agree, we can move to the second item.
This is Olaf here. I would like to add two items to any other business at the end. Perhaps
okay.
Another review of the calling time. And information about possible interventions from staff information purposes to the group, as well as perhaps mentioning a bit about the upcoming Brussels meeting, although it's early days now.
Olaf, can you please add this to the note in the Adobe Connect?
Yeah, I can add it on the note, yes.
So, any comment or... Okay, Alex, go ahead, please. Alex?
Yes, I just wanted to request that maybe there's somebody sitting very close to the phone to mute the start six idea and then start to mute. Yeah, I'm muting myself.
Allô?
Hello?
Oui, allô?
Bon, c'est bon. Parce qu'il y avait quelqu'un qui soufflait dans le micro.
OK. Thank you. So, I think we can go to the second item. It's about the update of statement of interest. I think that Gisela or Glenn just sent an email to remind everybody to send his or her statement of interest. So please do it as soon as possible. So I guess that we can go quickly to the third item, selection of co-chairs. Until now that we have Avri Doria and Evan Leibovich as who were nominated. I don't think that there was another candidate. Okay, so maybe I'm not sure that I think that they are our new co-chairs for this working group.
Sébastien is on the queue.
It's a problem that I cannot see in Adobe Connect, but please go ahead, Sébastien.
No, sorry, it was for the previous item.
I have to interrupt. Can we mute
everybody?
There's still some very heavy breathing. I can really hear the people who are talking.
Okay. Sorry, I have some problem with Adobe Connect, but please go ahead, Sébastien, about the second item. Okay.
Yeah, it was to suggest to Glenn to take from the ALAC members already existing SOI, because I'm sure that they will answer that, but as they are not participating for the two-day call, I would like to let you do that, like that you will have less people to chase on that. And for the second or the third item, I just want to guess that there are just two candidates to co-chair. And we are happy to have co-chair, one from each, one from the GNSO and one from the ALAC, and or at large, it will be great to have them if they are still willing to do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have Avery on the queue. You have Avery on the queue.
Okay, please go go ahead, Avery.
Okay, yeah, thank you. I appreciate being nominated, and as I said on email, you know, if people actually want that to happen, I'm willing. I pointed out my one issue of perhaps having too many opinions on this. The other thing I wanted to point out is from my statement of interest before people make a decision. I've frequently made a point over the last 5 years that I've never made a cent from anything to do with ICANN, and that's been part of my ongoing persona. While that is still strictly speaking true as of today, I have also, though, made an agreement where someone will be paying me for occasional advice. So I wanted to make sure before anybody decided that, you know, I and it will be possible applicants for community-based PLBs, the kind of people I've been advising for free up until now. One of them has actually graciously decided to give me some money for it. So I just wanted to make sure that people knew that change to my public ICANN persona while considering this. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery. Just to make clear, did you put this in your statement of interest?
Yes, most definitely. In fact, I can read it. I provide advice for possible applications for community-based GTLBs. For the most part, I provide this as an incidental service in exchange for coffee and pastry, while for others, I set up a long-term consultant agreement that includes payment. My consultant agreement includes the following, quote, nothing in this agreement commits Avery Doria to take any particular positions within ICANN, any ICANN internal organizations or working groups. With regard to internet technical or policy work, Avery Doria remains a free agent except as constrained by non-disclosure agreements agreed to by both parties, close quote. So that's what I say about it in my SOI.
Thank you very much, Avery. So we can maybe have some comments from the other participants. So if they, so what they think. But for me, it's my personal opinion. I don't see any problem that that you can be you would be selected as a co-chair. But so
we got Sebastian in the queue again.
Yeah,
Tony Harris.
Please go ahead, Sebastian.
Thank you. It's not, from my point of view, there's no problem with that, and I think we are, maybe ICANN or URI or people generally, we are pushing too much on that issue, and that's a U.S. way of life. I think you need to leave, you need to get some money, and one thing you do, it's, you know what's happening with ICANN, and I don't know why you will not be able to use that for some living part. You are not a registry. You are not a lawyer. You are, okay, you give advice to one possible candidate. I hope that it's possible for every one of us. And I think specifically for this working group, it's maybe more interesting to have people involved and who care about that and just people who run the working group. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sebastian. So
I am on the queue, Tijani.
Okay.
And I think Tony Harris was in the queue as well.
Tony,
yes, I did speak a few minutes ago.
Okay, so please, Tijani, and after Tony.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't see any problem for Avery. I still want her to be co-chair. That's all.
Thank you. Tony, please.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I have no problem with Avery being co-chair. I think she'd be an asset.
Okay, so I think that there is consensus about that there is no problem that Avery to be selected as co-chair. So
you have three
what about
you have Andrew Mack, you have three people on the queue at the moment. Andrew McAlay.
Sorry, guys, but I have really big problem with this Flash-based solution, which is Adobe Connect. So thank you for your help. Okay, Andrew, and who else?
Understand those as ticks.
Yes.
This was ticks to say we agree.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. So, is everyone is online or no? Not.
Not everyone is online on Adobe Connect. I think Tony Harris is not, and perhaps somebody else.
Is Evan on the
bridge? To answer your question, Evan is online.
Yes.
Okay.
So, if you want to say something before that, we can...
No need to speak, I'm fine with Avery's choice.
Okay, thank you. So, I think that we can congratulate our new co-chairs, Evan and Avery. And I would say good luck for you for continuing to sharing this working group. I think that maybe we can go to the next item. But sorry, Olaf, can you please manage? What is the next item? Because I cannot see anything in the Adobe Connect.
Charter approval.
Charter approval, item 4. And we're handing over to Evan and Avery at this moment.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, with pleasure. So, guys, good luck.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Evan, you and I didn't coordinate before this. Do you want to do the meeting, or should I?
I'll tell you what. You do everything until 40 after the hour, and I'll take it from there.
Okay. In which case, okay, thank you all. Let's move on to the charter. So I guess what we need to do now is get a charter that we're all comfortable with, because if I understand the council, and I don't know what the ALAC schedule is, but the GNSO council schedule, who still have to approve this, and I guess ALAC would also have to approve it, and then whatever negotiated language they would need to do needs to be dealt with. I think that this Thursday, or perhaps it's later today, I'm not quite sure, is the deadline to get motions in. Is that correct, Rafiq? For next week's council meeting?
I think we have there is deadline for that. So they said that we have to start working in after 28 days, but so.
Right. Now, what I was thinking of, since the council still has to approve the charter, I'm just trying to figure out our deadline. And you need to have a motion on the table in the council a week before the meeting. Am I correct, perhaps Glenn, if you're on the phone, or Gisela, to tell me, is the council meeting next week, and is therefore the deadline today, tomorrow?
Avery, the council meeting is on the 20th of May.
Oh, okay,
and
so we have another week.
Yes, so the deadline is 8 days before that, so it will be the 11th or 12th.
Okay, thank you very much. I guess there's further than 3 weeks between them this time. Fantastic. So where were we with the agenda? We had basically had the four objectives, if I remember. A fifth objective was proposed by Tony, and from the discussion I saw on the list, at least in principle, people seemed to be agreeing to it being there. There had also been discussions about perhaps reprioritizing them, because there's a notion that if there's an ordinality of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we're saying 1 is most important and 5 is least important, though I don't know that that's necessarily the case, and I don't think anything determines which gets done first. But do we want to talk any more about the precedent, and do we want to talk some more about Objective 5, which currently reads, to identify how the application fee can be reduced to accommodate applications that fulfill appropriate criteria to qualify for this benefit. And I guess those were the words that Tony suggested. So I guess I'll open up the floor and see who wants to comment on what edits do we need to any of them. Do we want to shift the order, and where do we go from here? Anyone? And I am looking at the Adobe, so speak up if you're not on Adobe. Okay, I see Evan. Okay, go ahead, Evan.
I guess my point is I'm very happy that Tony proposed Objective 5 because all of the other objectives seem to make an implication of what I think to myself as the charity model, as opposed to Objective 5, which has, shall we say, a more holistic view to the possibility of reduced costs through lowered fees as opposed to subsidy. Are these objectives ordered by priority or interest, or do we make it clear that there is no particular priority to them in this document?
May.
Thanks, Olaf. You were next, so...
Yes, and I wanted to clarify that that was no such intention in my very, very preliminary draft. So it was just lining up in some kind of pattern of thought that came to my mind. So maybe we could add a line to say that the order of the objectives is not for priority purposes, or something of the sort, if you wish.
That would be appreciated.
Yep. Okay.
Thank you, Olaf. I have Alex and then Tijani.
Yeah. We agree, that's all.
Oh, okay, sorry, that's right. I'm misunderstanding.
Mine was just to agree.
Right, okay.
Mine was just to agree.
Okay, I apologize. I keep mistaking my symbols. Okay, great.
Every Cheryl
is not agreeing.
Every Cheryl here, if I was able to connect to the internet, which clearly I'm not this morning because, after all, I'm only in a hotel for an ICANN meeting, then I would have a little green tick up agreeing. But it is very much up to the work group to make the prioritisation, if any, is going to be made clear.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, in fact, I would think that if we're going to meet objectives and the milestones, we would be working on several things in parallel.
Indeed.
Bastian, you have your hand up.
Yes, thank you very much. And I wanted to make two proposals, to ask two questions. In fact, in the objective one, as we add objective five, maybe we need to change something about the wording for dedicated support. I am not sure that dedicated support is the same, fit well with if we have a charity type of support, but maybe not if we have a decrease of the fee. And my second point is that, in fact, objective 2 and 5 are two objectives to or decrease the cost or give some money to help the applicant. And maybe we can put them close together, and really we have the criteria, we have how to give them money or decrease the cost, and potential providers, and the condition to be followed by the new GTLD. And I think it's not a prioritized, it's the order. I guess it's understandable that we need to go through this this way of thinking, and then we will go from 1 to 5 in different order. But then my suggestion is at least to change the 5 to 3 and the 3 to 4 and the 4 to 5 to put the 5 in between the current 2 and 3. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And you also had a recommendation to change dedicated support, perhaps just the support, if I caught your other conversation. Okay, I have Olaf, then Fabienne, then Evan.
Yes, and two comments. I know that, Sebastian, you found it a bit odd with dedicated support. I want to make some kind of clear differentiation between support that is provided to each and every applicant in the process, and some special support or dedicated support to those in particular needs. So that was the reason for using it. I don't know if this makes it, if we could replace dedicated with something else, or if just having, just saying support would be too, actually be too wide of a concept.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, thank you, Father.
And secondly, well, all right, I just want to indicate to you that I have an additional pod with notes up in the right-hand corner where I can make edits, and I'm busy doing that.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. Okay, I had Fabian next.
Hi. I would like to express my agreement with Sébastien in terms of increasing the idea of like making Objective 5 and Objective 3, making it closer to existing document. And I actually wonder if those two shouldn't be merged, because isn't reduced speed some kind of a kind of support that we are trying to identify, or that we are identifying? Also, if we consider ordering, I would suggest that current objective 3, sorry, which is to identify potential providers, identify kinds of supports, put to the as a last objective, as I consider the need to identify criteria and kinds of support more important than providers in terms of our work. And a third comment, or it's actually a question, can somebody explain what to identify support condition is compared to criteria? Thank you.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I can't hear well.
Okay, yeah, there was a resorting suggestion, please, Fabian, tell me if I got it wrong, that you'd basically, in addition to supporting moving 5 up to just after the current 2, you had also suggested switching 3 and 4, so 3 was the last, and so it's hard to call them by their own name. The other thing you had asked, and so maybe Olaf can jump in with a quick explanation before we move on, was you had asked for an explanation of what it meant to identify support conditions. So you had explained, basically asked for an explanation of what Objective 4 was about. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Olaf, can you jump in with Objective 4 explanation before I go on with the rest of the list?
Yes, absolutely. This is Olaf here. And in particular, if we go into some kind of, let's say, now the current Objective 5 would have some kind of, particular support, meaning, in this case, a lowered fee, financed in some interesting way, which, of course, leaves to be decided. But in order to do that, we must be very aware of the risk of gaming of such systems, so that there are conditions that must be fulfilled also in the future and won't be sort of disappearing the following day. I think that would be a pretty obvious requirement for any such method. So that was the meaning with the conditions that will then have to be fulfilled not only at the time of application, but also for the future.
Hmm. Not sure I totally got that, Olaf. I'm sorry. This is Andrew.
I didn't get you there, Olaf here.
Olaf, it's Andrew. I'm sorry. I'm not quite sure I totally understood the explanation. Could you try again?
Yes. Let's say we have a lower application fee financed in one way or another for a particular needy applicant. Now, in order to prevent this system from some kind of gaming, which is pretty much commonplace in our circles, or in very many circles, there would, of course, have to be some kind of reasonable condition that not only should be fulfilled at the time of application, but also would have to be fulfilled for the future. So it's not gamed. I mean, the gaming protection,
okay,
that's what I'm looking for.
So just to clarify, what you're saying is that there is a bar to entry in terms of getting the support, and then some sort of an ongoing test to make sure that the applicant continues to deserve this support based on who they are and where they are, correct?
That's indeed, that was my intention when drafting this.
Got it. Okay, thank you very much for the clarification.
Okay, thank you. I had Evan and then Andrew. And if any of you who aren't on Adobe want to be in the queue, just, you know, shout out. Okay, Evan.
Okay. I'd like to suggest two modifications to the wording. To objective four, I would like to change that to identify identify required measures in order to minimize the risk. And the reason I'm asking for that change is because the way it's worded now, all of the onus for reducing gaming rests on the TLD applicants. I don't think that's necessarily fair. The TLD applicants that are gaming the system are not going to be interested in policing themselves. So I'm just suggesting that objective four be a bit more broad based. That essentially we need to determine some ways of minimizing gaming. The way it's wording puts the onus on the new applicant squarely. I think it has to be a more broad objective than that. And on objective two, I'm going to agree with Fabien and suggest that we add reduced fees into the list of examples that are in objective two.
Okay, thank you. I see one person has indicated support of at least part of that. One question I have for you before moving on. So you would have reduced fees mentioned in both Objective 2 and the new Objective 3, which is currently Objective 5?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Andrew, another
yes.
Please comment. Right. Andrew.
Yes, Aubrey, thank you very much. I was going to just say something slightly different, but let me respond to what Evan just said. Evan, I'm not entirely sure that I got your – I'm sorry to be landing on objective number four. I'm not quite sure I understood the changes the way that you said them, whether they get you what you want. We may need to wordsmith that a tiny bit, but I get the idea, which I think makes good sense. Aubrey, in terms of when we add the lower price into Objective 2, I don't know if it makes Objective the old Objective 5, the new Objective 3 moot or not, whether we need it as a separate thing, because I think it does make sense as a kind of support. But if we want to emphasize it, then maybe it does make sense. The two just shouldn't seem to repeat each other, that's all.
Aubrey, Cheryl, you and you've got a moment.
Okay, thanks.
Otherwise, I think that the order makes great sense, and it sounds like we're making progress. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I had Cheryl next.
Oh, thank you. I didn't realize I was next in the queue. I was just trying to get onto it. Thanks for that, Avery. Look, I think that we probably could look at Objective 2 making a complete, and at this stage we may not have named all mechanisms of support, because of course how could we? We haven't explored all of that yet. So yes, I'm happy to have price put into that. Five now becoming new three. I do agree. I think that's possibly repetitious. What we probably need to tease out is a set of criteria and a set of support that matches those criteria, and in the column next to that, for the want of a better sort of mental image I'm trying to build for you, would be the ongoing and maintained criteria for that type of support to continue. I'm not sure it needs to be objectified, I think, by just reducing us down to 1, 2, 3 and 4, at this stage, there may be another one put in. We probably can meet that, and we look at teasing out the mechanisms for avoidance of gaming. We can state to avoid or minimise the risk of gaming as an objective. without it putting into the objectives whose responsibility, what type of audit, what type of ongoing could be. Because even in the basis of a of a reduced fee, if you've been deemed necessary, necessarily qualified in whatever way to have a reduced fee put in, and then later you're no longer fitting into that established criteria, we're not going to find a mechanism terribly easy to get people to top up the fee that they didn't pay 5 years earlier. So there's a whole spectrum that we're going to need to look at, and it may be that under certain types of agreement you have lengths of time for repayment or reduced facilities. There's a panthea of possibilities, and I think rather than try and tease out all those possibilities now and have them taken care of in our objectives, if we make higher level objectives, that might be the safest way to go. Thanks, Avery.
Okay, thank you. I don't have anyone else in the queue now. I'd like Tony, since you put in the first objective, suggested first objective 5, to perhaps comment. I also see that Olaf and Evan have put on their names, so sorry to put you, Tony, on the spot on this. Whether, you know, all that's been discussed here sort of fits with your notion of that. The other thing I just wanted to throw into the mix is, as I'm reading through the objectives, I notice we don't have one that I know will at least be important to the GNSO Council, which is, and this would probably be the last one, is to do nothing that slows down the process of starting up the new GTLD process. That seems to be something they do want to see in just about every working group dealing with this. So I just throw that out as a possibility that we also do want to say that. So,
Every Cheryl here, every time we've written anything on behalf of the At-Large Advisory Committee to do with GTLDs, that's been the mantra at the beginning. We are supportive of the process and we do not wish to delay. Occasionally we've then gone on to say, however, the following things need to be considered.
So that's almost an objective zero in Okay, so I had Olaf, Evan, and then Elaine.
To follow up on the last comment, maybe that's something that should be put into the preamble.
Yes.
The very last, not as a separate objective as such.
Yes.
Okay. And secondly, Cheryl, I didn't follow you completely on your wording on objective 5. How would you like to do it?
Olive, I would love to be able to type it to you in the comments, because it was... I think what we need to do is make sure the objective sees a match between minimisation of risk of gaming and a matching of criteria established, when it is established, for such support at whatever level and in whatever mechanism is decided or deemed appropriate, and the ongoing maintenance of that criteria.
Right. Okay.
Okay, you got that. Okay.
This is Tony. Actually, I was asked to comment,
oh, yes,
but I think I got lost in the shuffle.
Yes, please.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to say that I'm happy the way this is going, and that we Objective 5 has been deemed worthy of moving forward, and also that I think that this is not really exclusive of the other main issue, which is, of course, developing alternative mechanisms of support. And the idea of this foundation, which was raised, I think is a good one. And hopefully we'll be able to achieve that one also and not move forward on all fronts.
Thank you. We've got Evan and then Elaine, and then it will be time for the 9:40 pass over to... Evan to take the rest of the meeting forward. Evan.
That was awfully quick. I just want to call attention to a suggested rewording of number 4 that I put into the Adobe chat that I'll read out loud now, that I suggest changing number 4 to a bit more generalized, to identify conditions and mechanisms required to minimize the risk of inappropriate access to support. Simply to make it a little more broader.
This is Andrew. That sounds great.
Yeah.
And very clear. Thank you.
Happy with that type of language, Cheryl here.
Olaf here.
Yeah, me too.
Which is the previous objective 4, the now objective 5, as we have reorganized them. I take it.
Okay, so you got the wording, and I see lots of checks.
And secondly, regarding the issue about that we don't want to slow down the process, arguably by our very existence, we are slowing down the process. So while it's very nice and all to be able to say, you know, we want to keep things going as fast as possible, if we really cared about expediency, we wouldn't be doing this. So let's be honest with ourselves and say we want things to move along as fast as possible, but there are some things that need to be addressed.
Evan, I'm not as comfortable with that. I'm not as comfortable with that as I think there is a number of mechanisms and a number of previous experiences where we can continue with a process ICANN-wide to get, for example, a go-live, a launch, or a, dare I use the dreaded word, fast-track mechanism going, and then go in parallel with other criteria establishment and community-driven changes that then get added in. I doubt that we need to actually perhaps could have that debate at some other point, but at this point in this meeting's life, I'm not sure the work group needs to be concerned about getting their ducks in order and saying it has to be done before all those ducks in order can, you know, that has to be done before we can then move to next steps on the new GTLD process. I think the new GTLD process should continue on.
Can I get in queue, Tony?
Sure, Tony. If I can comment, and then I think one of the things that we'll need to look at in terms of trying to meet that goal is I think that there are some things that we may be able to do quickly.
Yes.
And maybe that's what you were saying, Cheryl.
Yeah.
And that they should be front-loaded. And there may be things that do take longer, like, you know, the whole notion of a foundation and how it works and whatever, which will take longer, but are sort of parallel to, and it's the foundation and its money would need to be in place before the start, but it wouldn't slow down a DAG or anything like that. So we can possibly look at staging things. I take what you say, Evan, that anything that anyone does has the chance of slowing things down. However, we really have to be careful because we'll meet, if we don't try not to, we'll definitely meet kinds of resistance that might stop, you know, this process from happening, actually.
Understood.
Okay, Tony.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, getting to the concern that was just voiced, I don't think that we will slow down the process. Thank God we have not been called an overarching issue.
Yeah.
So I think if we're not an overarching issue, we can sort of work, as Cheryl has said, in parallel and perhaps with the expertise of everybody in the working group, it shouldn't take us too long.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Elaine, I've seen your hand go up and down a couple times. Did you want to say something? I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but no.
Hi, Albert.
Hi.
I just was going to request that the last sentence of Objective 1 be changed. It was referring to Objective 2, which has been changed to Objective 3, but it looks like Olaf is doing that.
Doing that, okay. Okay, what I'd like to suggest, unless anybody has anything else on the charter, is that, and then for the next item, I will pass the chair over, that Olaf take this. I guess he's got it there. We do have a couple more days before we need to craft the motion and such, so people can read it, could talk about it perhaps online. People can talk about substitution for dedicated support if that's still an issue, you know, specific support, you know, or whatever, come up with different words if that, as I say, if that's an issue, and just read through and check that so that either on the list or at the next meeting, which if it's at this time I won't be able to make, but at the next meeting we can solidify that. Yes, Elaine, I see your hand again.
Yeah, so I was looking at the notes on the right. Objective 4 and Objective 5 look almost the same to me. Can we review the language there and see if that's a duplication.
Yeah, they do look rather similar at the moment.
5 is the old 4.
Okay. Well, I think Olaf is still
mid-edit.
Mid-edit, right.
I'm still editing, and, excuse me, I'm sort of trying to do multiple things at once.
Yeah, okay.
Olaf, you are only human. You are only human.
Right. So I'd apologize for that. Could I just ask Cheryl to provide me with a wording?
Is it possible for me to do that when I'm rather than hold up this meeting?
Rather offline. And,
if I ever get online, Olaf, I'd be delighted to contact you offline on that. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And so if Olaf can put out a clean and updated version of the charter on the list.
Yes.
Then we can continue to discuss it and hopefully close out any of the issues.
Yes. That's where the words
in
meeting should be.
Yeah. I see, Alex, you have your hand up.
Yes. Thanks, Avery. I was just saying that since we are on record, what we are saying, I think we could give all of a bit of time to go through what we have been saying and get the right words, and we can post to us on list and we can review. Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Alex. Anyone else want to comment on the working group charter before we move on to the next item? Okay, in which case we go to substance discussion, next steps, and Evan, the chair is yours.
All righty. Okay, without further ado, we've got two people with hands raised, Alex and Sebastian. Alex, go ahead. Alex? Hello? Is Alex there? Oh, okay.
He's there, but he seems to have a problem with his muting and unmuting.
Okay. All right, Sebastian, go ahead.
Yeah, it was just because we specified at the beginning of the meeting when GNSO will have to take a decision on that. It's just to tell you that the ALAC meeting will be on the 25th of May, and we need to be ready, if it's possible, 1 week prior to give our members the time to read it and to discuss on it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Avery, go ahead.
Yeah, that actually works out well, because with the meeting of the GNSO on the 20th, then ALAC will be able to review not only the charter as we sent it, but if any edits, comments, or whatever are coming out of the council, you'll be able to process those as well. And if any negotiation between the two, you know, management bodies is necessary, it gives you a chance to do some of that.
Indeed. Thanks.
Okay. Now, does anyone else have something that they want to add right now? In terms of the next issue about where do we go next, what are the next steps, one of the things that was mentioned just before is that there might be some things that we can do quickly that could make their way immediately into the process and other things that will be more slow. Does anybody want to comment about the kinds of things that we could or maybe should prioritize so that we can get them done more quickly and perhaps move them into the current process without a lot of delay?
Put me in the queue, please, Tony Harris.
Hey, Tony, you're on.
Well, I would just suggest as one of the initial tasks that could get us going towards the gate with something productive would be to look at the way the application fee was constructed originally and the rationale and justifications that I can put out in a document explaining why this fee and how it was devised and put together. Perhaps if we do that piece by piece, we will discover some things which people have already identified in mails yesterday. I think it's Andrew Mack mentioned something very interesting about cost recovery, which we did bring up in the public forum back in Cairo, actually, and there would seem to be no good reason for RICAN to need cost recovery. for application fees and so forth. You have several concepts or several let's say pieces of the application fee which are described by ICANN, and we could take them one at a time and see what everybody thinks about them. That would be just one thing we could do initially.
Are you saying?
I think Olaf already circulated that document to everybody, if I'm correct.
Tony, are you saying that's one of the things that should be fast-tracked by us?
I'm sorry? That should be?
Are you saying that's one of the things that we should do faster to try and become part of the current process as opposed to something in parallel?
I'm saying we could probably have two or three good things, quick things moving forward. This would probably be an easy one because we have something definite to latch onto, whereas developing external means of assistance may take a while longer because that will, you know, we have to figure out, well, where is that going to come from, and you know, where will we source this type of assistance? As far as the other thing which was mentioned, which is inappropriate access to this or gaming, well, that's something which shouldn't be too difficult for us to sort out. Basically, the applicant should be able to show, as an NGO, he was not set up, 24 hours ago. If he's been active as a nonprofit for a reasonable amount of time, 2 or 3 years, that's one way of closing that door.
Okay, so that would be in the criteria. Okay.
Evan, sorry, Cheryl here. And I actually at least have the beginnings of internet access starting, which is getting me all very excited and probably distracted. I think
Cheryl,
that's one of those matters that probably should be considered as one of our early priorities. Notice I'm saying early priorities, not giving it a value rating on high, medium or low. But I think we do need to start looking at the criterias and the mechanisms and the methods. Because that is, after all, one of our main objectives.
Okay. All right. I have Andrew and then Elaine. Andrew, go.
Okay. Thanks very much. First of all, I like Tony's idea a lot. I think that gives us a solid grounding in some of the economics of this, and I think that's pretty important if we want to move forward. I also agree that some of the idea of trying to find funding sources, it will take time, and so I think we can begin that process, but I agree with the other people who said that's probably not going to be the first order. Looking at these, it would strike me that one of the parallel number one priorities would be to try to identify and to find some sort of criteria or tier to who we're trying to access, because that's going to really help define this an awful lot. Do we have a first group of people that we're trying? Is there a particular group that we think is really in the greatest need? If we can start to identify that, a lot of these other elements, such as the gaming regulations and things like that, those should. I think that this will help them drop out. And so I would suggest if we can identify our audience or our audiences as a first priority or one of our first priorities, I think that'd be worthwhile. Thanks.
Okay. So if I hear you right, Alex, is basically we identify who before we identify how.
This is Andrew, and I think that we have to start trying to narrow the field to get a clearer sense of who, because there may be different hows depending on who we work with. There also will be different needs for funding depending on how widely we define the who.
Okay.
Make sense?
All right. Elaine, you're next. Go.
This is Elaine speaking. So I'm concerned about Tony's suggestion that we go piece by piece through the reasoning for the as it is. If this is a process that's already...
It's not our mandate.
If this is a process that we've already gone through within ICANN, if it's already been commented on, I don't want to rehash. I don't want to spend time rehashing an argument that has already been lost. So I would caution against spending a lot of energy and effort on what might be a lost cause, and I prefer, as Andrew said, to identify appropriate recipients of whatever support we can come up with. That's my main point.
Uh, Karakin and Q, Tony Harris.
Tony, go.
Yeah, Elaine, I see your point, but basically I don't think any of these things that I've mentioned have been actually turned down. They've just sort of been, you know, ignored or there hasn't been much of an outcry, to be quite honest. And so basically, I mean, what have we got to lose if you say, for example, why should an applicant pay $60,000, which is what they call a cautionary fee, which is collected from every applicant to pay for conflictive developments that might happen with different TLD applications. Well, yeah. Perhaps we shouldn't have to pay this $60,000 up front, but only be asked to do that if our TLD application runs into conflict, for example. But nobody has ever said that. I mean, not as an individual voice at the mic in a public forum, as a substantial group of opinion. None of this is really being placed before the ICANN board. So I'm a little hesitant about saying this is a lost cause.
Okay, I have Cheryl, Sebastian, Avery, and Tijani. Cheryl, go.
Actually, I did think Avery was first, so I'm happy to see it in her direction first.
Okay, all right. I had Sebastian first, but okay.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Sebastian, go.
No, you need to tick off my microphone because I didn't request again the mic and I can't take it away. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Avery, go.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I kind of want to back up what Tony said. While the board's mandate does say, you know, we have to keep the cost recovery basis, and that's that, and while there certainly have been individuals who have gotten up there and questioned the cost recovery basis as it was defined and what's been lumped into what cost recovery includes, I do think this is the first time that the board has sort of enabled a group of people, in this case a joint, you know, GNSO-ALAC group, to say we question this basis for the following reasons, to make a reasoned argument and, you know, request a formal response to that. So, and I don't even think that has to necessarily wait for the end of the working group to get such a request out, formalized, sent to the board, sent to the implementation team, and say, you know, we understand cost recovery. Yes, that must be maintained. However, and, you know, I've heard people make the comments, but, you know, it was just an individual or two making it and not a joint working group that's been enabled by the board. Thank you.
Okay, I see a couple of check marks for this. One quick question. Tony, does there exist any kind of position paper in writing that you could send out to this list, essentially trying to map out the position?
Well, I did actually. In the email I sent a few days ago, I can resend it. I attached the comments my federation made when DAG 1 was published, and that addresses each segment of the structure of the application fee, with a comment which would serve at least to for us to begin discussing, or people can, you know, improve on it or whatever. I can resend it if you haven't seen it, but
well, let me just ask a staff, Gisela and Olaf, is there a wiki page for this group?
Oh, yes, there is a wiki page, and we sent out the information about that one actually twice when inviting, and also in the follow-up from the last call.
Okay, I'm going to suggest putting up Tony's paper in the wiki as something that is sort of an attachment that people could and should have a look at.
Everybody is free to put items into the wiki.
Okay.
Olaf, could you do that for me? This is Tony. I think you have the attachment I sent.
Okay.
If not, I'll repeat it happily.
Okay. Cheryl, you've got...
Yeah, two things, actually, now. First of all, there's going to be a whole lot happening in the wonderful world of wikis in ICANN, and I think it's important that we do certainly maintain the existing social text wiki for our own use, but realise that there is probably in the not-too-distant future going to be a period of time where we won't be in a position to do as Olive says, and that is make edits at our whim and will. So it's very important that things that we want captured and in the public view are done promptly, effectively, efficiently, and probably by delegated individuals in this work group, be that people from various work teams or parts of the process, or whether we have it minuted in action items as to who is to do what and when. What we don't need is for things to fall through the cracks. Coming back to why I put my hand up in the first place, with what Tony's saying, and certainly with what I think a number of us in terms of organisational subsets of ICANN or interested parties in public comment programs put out for DAG, whatever iteration it was. You're right, Tony, a lot of us have said we questioned why these costs are this. We have heard some of those rationales, but we haven't had the full frank and fearless debate opportunity that, as Avery outlined, we seem to have now. Can I suggest this is an ideal opportunity for this work group to start a subset work team to look into that as an early action item? In other words, it might be 9/10 of us, it might be 50% of us, it might be 5 of us, get on to that very important discussion and debate in the wiki on the list, and come back with at our regular meetings to us with the current state of play of what of where that discussion is, because in many cases we need to do that to help us establish our types of support and our mechanisms of support and our criteria for support, because we may wish to link that to a particular aspect of the cost model. So until we look at the cost model and say this support for this type of NGO is as simple as this part of the fee established in the cost model being waived or something else. So I think it's really important that that gets going. I'm unsure whether it needs to be the only work that involves the work group members, though. So if we are going to get onto it, and I think we should get onto it sooner and more aggressively than we've done or had an opportunity to do before in any of the public forum methods, that we sort of perhaps task that as a sub-team in this work group to get on with that job.
I second that.
Okay.
It's Alan here. I've had a problem I couldn't get on till now. I do have a comment on what Cheryl just said, though.
Okay. Alan, can you get on the Adobe too, please?
If I knew where it was, I could. It wasn't in the announcement.
Yep.
I'll get on Skype if you can send it to me.
All righty. Okay, Alan, you've got something to say?
Yeah, just one small comment. When the initial pricing came out, there were a number of items that were identified that were probably not applicable to cultural and related domains. It may be important for us to know from staff, did they factor that in, and that effectively lowered the average? In other words, because they know some domains are being overcharged because items don't apply to them, that was used in the calculation. So what I'm saying is the fact that some may actually bear zero costs may not lower the cost, the total cost, if that was already factored in. It would be important to know that before we, or as we go down that path.
Okay. I have Danny next.
Who is that?
You, Tijani.
Danny, you're next.
Tijani.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Thank you, Ivan. You know that I am one of the most concerned about the application fees and about the cost recovery. I have expressed that in all the public comments for the three version of the DAG, and I have said it verbally a lot of times. But if I understand well the resolution of the board, we don't have to change the DAG, It's not in our mission. And second, the cost recovery is still one of the principles of this new GDLD process. So I think we are asked to see how we can help or we can support applicants that need support. So first, I think if we want to start well, we have to identify first who will need this support first, and then second to see how we can how we can help them to do the application and to operate it after the delegation. So I don't want our group to go and think that we will not be able to give recommendation on it, because it is not in our mandate, if you want.
Okay. Elaine, you're next.
Elaine, for speaking. Thank you. So thank you for considering my concerns about redoing work that's already been done. Obviously, I don't know the whole history of the development of the fee structure, and my main concern is that we don't put forward a suggestion that's already been thought through and argued against. So if you could post, if the staff could find any sort of communication or text from any comments or regarding how the fee structure was established, on the wiki, I think that would be very helpful as we go through this process.
Okay. Well, based on the last couple of comments, I want to ask a couple of things. Number one, would it be a good idea to have either Kurt or somebody from his staff attend our next call to be able to answer questions like this? I also wanted to address Cheryl's point of whether or not it is worth having this group sort of either formally or informally take on two different tasks in parallel, one of which is starting to proceed with who needs assistance and then what form that assistance takes, and the other thing in parallel being the issue that Tony has raised about, you know, how can we address the overall fee structure and see if we can deal with that. Is the group okay with the idea of having these two things sort of going in parallel, either formally or informally? And what does everyone think about having the GTLD staff actually come on a future call to address some of these issues of what's already been taken into account? Andrew, I've got your hand. I got a check mark from Elaine, but Andrew, you're in the queue to talk. And
okay, great.
Michaela.
Thanks, Evan. First of all, the idea of divvying up the labor in the way that you describe it seems very intuitive and very logical. I think that a lot of our decisions will be impacted by the actual costs and by the understanding of the how we got to our costs and things like that. I mean, for example, one of the questions that I have is about whether or not this is really an average cost or whether we're looking at cost recovery for each individual applicant or whether cost recovery over the broad group. There are enough little issues that would factor into how we would offer support that I think it would be worthwhile looking at, although I do understand people's desire to not, you know, reopen things that are really legitimately closed. Based on that, I think it would probably be wise for us to get our act together, get our knowledge base built up internally, and discuss it before we invite staff. Mm-hmm. If only because if I were staff, honestly, Evan, I would say, hey, look, guys, I've spent a lot of time on this. I'd like this to be a closed issue. And if we think that there are pieces of it that should be, that are open issues still, I think we're going to be better placed to have a good conversation with staff if we've done our homework beforehand. So that's just my only suggestion. Thank you.
Okay, good point. McKillitt.
I'd agree largely with what was just said. While I like the idea of staff giving input and being able to talk and explain their reasoning behind why things have been done the way they've been done, I still think it might be a bit premature to bring staff in at this juncture. I'd also be very supportive of what Cheryl was saying on the chat there, with regards to identifying clearly the types of organizations that will require this support, whatever that support may be it financial, moral, professional, whatever. Until such time as we can identify who this is all meant to be for, apart from the entire kind of gaming issue, I mean, all I'm hearing is people going round and round and round, and a large part of this call talking about moving numbers around on a sheet. And until such time as we actually know who we're meant to be assisting in some way, I can't really see what the point of this is. That, as far as I'm concerned, is key. If you can't identify who you're meant to be helping, what's the point?
Understood. Okay, Cheryl.
Thanks, Evan. Cheryl here, and following on, I think, from a rather worthwhile segue. Thank you, Michaela, for all of that. Because one of the things I was going to propose at this juncture is we have some administrivia, and I'm not trying to minimise that, administration and the administrivia that goes with it of these types of work groups and our activities are very important, but we do have action items and tasks that are going to the GNSO, that are going to the ALAC, and that are moving us forward. We have some action items that are also honing in on stuff we need to do on wiki or lists. And we also, I think, I'm hearing sufficient support for at least a formal, I would like to suggest, Evan and Avery, that we do have the capabilities in the guidelines for work groups to have work teams formally established and facilitated and supported within a work group's activity, and I think that is the way we should go for efficiency's sake. If we are going to establish a work team to look at the costs modelling and aspects of those costs modellings where our support can be levied and used, then we've got some meaningful metrics and points where we can say, well, this lump of cost, when we discover whether it is or is not averaged out, can simply be removed from the calculation for a particular type of entity as opposed to what's happening in whatever model until we have a better understanding. So doing the homework, getting that work team going, and at the future point in time have staff invited into that work team to present. The rest of us can come and listen if we want to, I think is a more efficient way of getting on with the work group job. I'd also like to suggest that a separate work team also be established. And, of course, I've disconnected from the internet. This is going to be a fun couple of days for this meeting here, if the internet isn't stable enough to keep me into an Adobe room. Sorry, it's me being grumpy. That perhaps a second work team should also be established to look at this matter of establishing categories, types, or probable criteria that such recipients of assistance are going to be fitting into. So I think if we sort of gather into two separate major headings and get onto some of that work in the next bunch of days while the administration matters of getting charters up and accepted goes on, it would be a productive use of our time. And certainly it would be a matter then of having feedback from those two work teams happening at our next meeting, which will get us beyond shuffling numbers on a page.
Okay. Avery? Go ahead.
You have my support, Chayil.
Avery, go ahead. Avery?
I guess I'm not off mute.
We can hear you now, Avery.
No, we can't.
I think that's right. I think part of what has to happen is sometime after this meeting, while we're working on things on the list and figuring out how to get various teams together, Evan and Olaf and I need to sort of coordinate how we're going to process all this administrativa and come back to, you know, the group with some suggestions. I think it'd be good that if people do agree that having two work teams sort of cranking together on stuff, we have yet to decide whether we want to do it all visibly on the same list or what we want to do about it. But I think that's a good idea. I don't know that we want to isolate it. I think that perhaps people taking leads on things but carrying on public conversations may be a good way to do it, because these are mostly tasks, and a group of people go off and do a task, come back, another group of people go off and do another task. But I was just sort of saying that perhaps Olaf, Evan, and I can talk, because we haven't talked at all yet about how to organize this effort and how to meet the milestones and such, and come back on the list in a couple of days with a proposal that people can talk about and see if it works, as opposed to spending, you know, much time doing it now.
I would tend to agree with Avery. As a matter of fact, my gut inclination is to meet Cheryl halfway, in that I do think we need a working team to sort of go off into a corner and examine the issues about general fees. But the issue of who qualifies for help, I mean, that's, I think, one of the core objectives of the group, and I would not want to put that off onto a subgroup. I think that really is something that is for this entire team.
Evan, Cheryl here, because I'm not in the Adobe room. I'm just going to jump in. Working in a work team does not mean it is not the act. It is not this. It's not disconnected. Sorry, I'm getting extremely frustrated with technology here. A work team is not disconnected from the activities of the work group. A work team is a mechanism whereby individuals who self-identify and are recognised get on with a job as a subset of the community as a whole, as the committee as a whole. So it's not working in isolation at all, and it's the sort of thing that we should simply have, depending on how you want to design it, you know, a link to this piece of project work as opposed to that piece of project work off the master wiki page, and that these people are primarily involved and tasked with specific actions, but it's still open to all. It just is a mechanism of getting on with jobs and getting them done in parallel, those of us who have the energy, the inclination, or the insanity to involve ourselves in every one of the work teams that a work group happens to decide upon, do so. Those who simply want to focus in their particular area of interest or expertise, do so. And it just makes work group efficiency much better.
Okay. Alex has made a comment on the Adobe chat saying, for transparency's sake, we should maintain the conversations on the same list. I don't think that's out of line with what you're saying at all, Cheryl.
Oh, no, absolutely not. It's all in a goldfish bowl. Everything needs to be in a goldfish bowl. Heavens, I'm here for accountability and transparency review team. Of course it's got to be in a goldfish bowl.
Got it. Okay, Alan, you're next.
Yeah, just a quick one. When I originally mentioned consulting with staff as regarding what has already been averaged in and what they did not factor in that way, I was not implying that we come and ask them to join a meeting for that. I think the join a meeting may well be relevant after we've done our homework. I was talking about a very simple question. I think we can phrase that quite quickly, just so we know what they believe they have already addressed, and then we can question whether they've done it properly or whether they, you know, or point out something they missed. But I wasn't suggesting having staff interact with us at this point. Just give us the story of what was involved.
Okay. I have Andrew and then Olaf, and then we'll probably bring this part of it to a close because we need 10 minutes to go through the any other business part of it. So, Andrew, go.
Yes, another real quick point. I agree with Alan, and I agree with Cheryl. My understanding of these ways that these little subgroups might work is just that you have a group of people, two, three, four, whomever, who have the responsibility for collecting all of what's going on and effectively reporting back to the people to the broader group to create, if you will, a kind of a straw man proposal. And if we were to do it in that way, I think it could be useful.
Okay, then if that's the case, I'm going to suggest that if anybody on this call is interested in either leading or participating in either of the two work groups, one to do with identifying the who of who qualifies, and the other one to do with general issues about cost recovery and the ICANN TLD pricing structure, please take it to email and make your intentions known there. Olaf, go ahead.
Yeah, very quickly responding to Alan's request, and from my simple perspective, Well, this is an averaging to the extent that it's possible to identify certain specific cost elements that would be clearly clearly belonging to a particular applicant, notably where there are oppositions and others. Well, there are separate cost elements along the process. But for the rest, it is an average of the different kinds of applicants that could be imagined.
As a follow-up, I guess the specific question, and it's almost a yes-no answer on each of them, is did you in the calculations assume there would be zero or very low costs for some classes of applicants and use that low number to lower the average, or did you, in your mind, know that some might not have it, but you put the number in anyway?
Well, now,
I don't think we need to have the discussion now, but that was the question.
By me, and this is something that you can have a close look at the cost build-up structure, which is, I sent it to the list in response to Tony's request. So it's there. I put it on the wiki as well. And, these are the cost elements that have been counted in. And, in some kind of future, I guess you need to talk to Kevin, our CFO, and how these elements were arrived at. But it's very well documented, actually.
Okay. Guys, anything more like this, it needs to be done, but it needs to be done in email. We need to end at half past the hour to keep this online, and besides, I have a hard stop because I have another call to go right to from this on the high security zone group. We have 8 minutes left to deal with the any other business. First question about the call time. Is this day of the week and this time of day okay for everyone? I have a request from Carlos in Lacrola who says that because of his commitments, he can't make this time of day, this day of week at all, and has asked for reconsideration. I need to find out from other people on the list, is this good on a regular basis or not? Okay, Michaela.
This time's good for me. I mean, it's the middle of the day for me, which makes a nice change.
Evan, Cheryl here. I'm not in the Adobe room, and it's probably not worth me getting back on now I'm back on the internet. I think perhaps what we could do is look at a doodle on day, then, if the day and time is impossible for the designated ALAC liaison to this group to attend, then the ALAC has a problem with that, strangely enough. We perhaps could call for a doodle if the time is generally suitable to the majority of us, and I don't know what time it'll be in my real world, but it doesn't matter. But perhaps look at an alternate on day. But can you also establish, can you and Avery also establish the periodicity, the expected, is it weekly or fortnightly meeting cycle as well, please?
Okay, that's something, I guess, for Olaf, Avery, and myself to take offline.
It depends. Sorry, it's not an offline issue. It depends on other people's commitments. For example, if it's weekly, some of us will select certain days. If it's fortnightly, we may already have fortnightly meetings, and we can do this meeting at this time on the same day alternately. So it does need to be doodled.
Okay. I have Avery, then Andrew, and then Olaf.
I think that if we're missing our liaison from one of the two groups, we have to look at the schedule of the meeting. We also do have to look at the geographical spread for the time. I think in terms of deciding whether it's weekly or biweekly, it's looking at the schedule, which we didn't talk about this time and which we'll have to do on the list of our milestones, and whether we think we can mic the milestones going biweekly or whether we need weekly. I think the default for most meetings in the GNSO is bi, unless you've got a schedule that says the only way you're going to meet your targets is weekly. And of course, it also depends on how this group works. If this is a group that can work a lot on the list on the wiki, commenting on documents, and getting work done on the list, we can meet on the phone less. If it's like most of the groups we've been having lately, where nobody does anything until there's a phone call, and the phone call is either a forcing function to do the off-list work, or it's where the work gets done, then we'll meet more calls. And that's just, you know, that's up to you all in terms of how you decide to work. The last thing I want to point out is, because of the ICF meetings next week where I'm acting as part of the secretariat, I can't do any meetings that aren't at nighttime in Europe. Thanks.
Okay. I have Andrew and then Olaf, and then we need to move on to some other stuff. Okay,
okay,
Andrew.
Great. Yes, sir. Well, first of all, selfishly, 9 a.m. In the Eastern time zone of the United States is perfect for me. So if we can keep it almost regardless of the date at this time, that's terrific. And I know it, but I honestly don't know how that fits everyone else. In terms of the question about weekly or biweekly, obviously biweekly is easier for a lot of people. I think a lot of that will depend on whether and how we decide to use these subgroups. If we use these subgroups to get us well prepared so that we can get more done in a biweekly meeting, then I'm happy to go with biweekly meetings. Part of this, I guess, will come down to our co-chairs in helping us to frame what exactly we realistically think we can get done by Brussels and what, you know, I'd rather us do a good job of a few things and come back with something useful than to be 30% through everything. That's my sense of it. Cheers.
Okay, well, we don't have a lot of time before Brussels. Olaf, Andrew, I'm going to have to cut you off unless you've got something real quick.
No, I'm done. I thought I thought I signed off. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, Olaf.
It's Alan. I put something on the chat.
I had a mail exchange with Carlos, and he can do it on Wednesdays, but starting 1 hour later than we did today. But that would confine us to a one-hour call. So I would suggest that we put up that as an alternative on the Doodle.
Okay.
That would enable him to join the call if it was 1 hour later.
Well, Gisela is brilliant at sorting out Doodles that seem to manage to find mechanisms that the majority of us globally, at least in the world of at large, can manage to find spaces in. So perhaps we leave that to the administrivia team.
I'll take this offline with Avery, with Evan, and with Olaf to find out the 60, 90-minute slots and get out a Doodle ASAP.
And we'll also see whether or not it's better to have a one-hour call every week or an hour-and-a-half call every 2 weeks. We'll try and sort that out ourselves. Now, regarding do we have time in Brussels? Has a meeting space been allocated for us in Brussels?
We have requested, and that was one of my points, we have requested a time slot on Thursday and a one-hour time slot for making a presentation of some sort of the result we may have. Also, I would like to bring up, if I may, since I've got a mic, would like to propose that we have some kind of presentation from the staff side, from new DHLD team, on what support mechanisms are already foreseen, sort of, for all the applicants. So there's no double working on such matters. If that's of interest to the working group.
Okay. I have Sebastian and Elaine. Sebastian, go.
Thank you. Yeah, you answer a lot about the meeting schedule for... gives the result of our work. Do we schedule to have a working group meeting prior to that in Brussels?
Okay, we'll work out about conflicts, especially conflicts with GNSO and ALAC related meetings. So we can take that offline. Elaine, you're up. Elaine?
Hi, sorry. So for the meeting in Brussels on Thursday. I would suggest that we try to find a time slot before Thursday so that whatever we work out can be addressed in a public forum. On Thursday at 10.
Okay, I have a check mark from Alex. We'll see what we can do. My guess right now, Elaine, is that most of the schedule is already pretty tightly packed. We're well past the deadline that ALAC was given for requesting meeting space. So we're just going to try and do the best we can and work around the existing commitments within ALAC and GNSO. Obviously, getting something in time to be able to put forward at the public forum would be great. I have a feeling that our options are going to be fairly limited.
Thanks.
Anyone else about... Okay, not only Brussels, we're now into the last minutes of any other business. We're 1 hour, 1 minute over the meeting limit. If you've got something to say, something new, make it quick.
Very quickly, do you wish to have a staff information of some 15 minutes or so for the next call on existing support mechanisms or foreseen support mechanisms?
Sorry, Olaf, could you repeat that?
Yes. Do you wish to have an intervention at the next call for staff information on foreseen support mechanisms and such?
The consensus that I heard at the meeting is that we don't need external staff in at this point. It's a bit premature. If there's specific things that come up in email, we can make requests in writing. But the consensus that I've heard so far is that we don't need GTLD staff intervention at this time. Is that reasonable with everyone else on the call? I don't see any questions. Okay. No, Olaf, I think we're going to be okay, at least for the next meeting. We'll be in a position to identify that later on. Let's not use up the staff time until we really need them.
Okay.
Avery's trying to get in.
I just wanted to point out that I think this is different than that one we had talked about earlier. Earlier we had talked about a period where we would be asking questions about, the pricing and decisions made, et cetera, and we decided that it's, in terms of that, we needed to have our ducks. This, what I think Olaf is offering here is basically just a brief presentation that informs us of what support mechanisms are already contemplated so that we don't go around saying, well, we need somebody to do this, when that's something that's already being planned for everybody anyway. So I'm not making a judgment one way or another whether we want that, but I just wanted to make sure that we knew we were looking at something different.
Yeah, can I make a suggestion that we can get that in email as opposed to meeting staff for 15 minutes on the next call? We have a lot.
Evan, can I suggest that what you should be doing is getting agendas organised with the people who are charged with agendering a meeting in a work group or a work team, and that is you, Avery, and staff. You put out a draft agenda and we shoot it down or we agree with it.
Works for me. Alex, go.
More or less, what I wanted to say has just been said. It's been summarized, and I think that's the direction I was going to take. So thanks. Let me not repeat it. Thank you.
Sorry, Alex. I couldn't see that you were.
No problem.
Okay. Is there any other last-minute things that need to be said? Okay. If that's the case, we're 4 minutes over, but I think we've got a lot done here. And I guess that's Avery. Do you have anything else to add?
Other than to thank people and say do stuff online so that we have less to do in phone calls.
It's a great theory.
Yeah, it's a great theory. I keep pushing it, and someday it'll happen. Thank you all.
Thanks,
okay,
Avery.
I'm confident in the meeting.
Thanks, Avery. Bye. Thanks, Evan. Thanks, staff. It's really good. Sorry
thank
about
you.
My
Bye-bye.
Frustration. Bye.
Thank
Bye.
You all.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you, Tim.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.